Well, open your Bible to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. You're in the last 4 months, I guess it's been now. The thing, the anointing of God, the stirring of God is to impart strength to our spirit man. This is more of a preaching anointing and largely working out of the book of Psalms. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Let's just confess that right now. Just confess that with me. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. We need to be declaring this over our life. It's funny, a few years ago in the world, the people in the world felt threatened by truth and by people like you. So colleges would have their safe places. And people have their safe place. Well, that's what a refuge is. We have a safe place. With all the evil going on out in the world, we have a safe place in Christ. That safe place is in the Lord. And it's not only a safe place, but he gives us strength to our spirit. Now, you can build strength in your body, but it says in Isaiah 40 that even the young men shall get weary. You know, the overriding attribute of the young man is a strength. The old man is wisdom. Or you could be an old fool if you choose to. But even in all of the physical strength, there's a strength from God in your spirit where you do not get weak and faint and want to quit. Quit cannot be in the vocabulary that we would use in our mind. It's not an option. No option. You press on no matter what, even unto the death. No quit. A very present help in time of trouble. And I like this because, you know, you could think of reinforcements are coming. The cavalry's coming, but will they get there in time? You know, the old Western movies, you'd have the gunslinger in trouble, and, you know, they hear, you know, the cavalry's coming and saves the day. But in the natural, sometimes help doesn't arrive in time. But our God's a very present help in trouble. He's a now God. He's a God with us in the now, who's purposed and intended to deliver us in the now. Yes. You know, we're not hoping, well, someday maybe reinforcements come. No, in the now, deliverance is available to us. Strength to persevere is available. God is our refuge or our protection, our safe place. Therefore, or if you believe that, we will not fear. Now, what it comes down to is, what do you believe? If you believe that really with all of your heart, then you're not going to let the spirit of fear that's been unleashed and is all around us in the world, all over the world, all around us, it won't get on you. We will not fear, speaking in absolute terms. We will not fear. Even though the earth would be moved, or it says removed, or moved, we think of like an earthquake, the very ground shakes, everything's shaking. And the times we're living in, everything is shaking. It's a great time for evangelism because people don't have anything to put their trust in. The things they might have trusted in are being shaken. Their 401k. Their government or whatever it is that they're looking to is being shaken. But we will not fear because we declare by faith, God is my refuge. He is my strength. He is a right now God, present help in time of trouble. So we need to hold fast to our confession of such statements in the word. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the sea. Now, the word earth, mountains, sea, and waters are being used, and these are figures of speech. This is not a literal rendering here, but it's a figure of speech. And the earth would make be a reference point to just to the world in general. The mountains is a point of reference figuratively of the high places of idol worship. It's throughout the Old Testament, the high places or mountains being moved. And actually, when Jesus said, when he cursed the fig tree was a type and shadow of Israel who should have been bearing fruit, but they were away from God. They were rejecting the word of God and just being religious. They didn't have fruit, so therefore they were cursed. They were cursed. In their time of visitation, they didn't recognize the Christ. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. In Luke 19, it states that, around verse 41 to 45, that they were cursed as a result of rejecting the word of the Lord. Sometimes people bring a curse on themselves. And it says in the scripture that a curse causeless would not be found. Well, there's always a reason. And through rebellion, disobedience, and such like, we can bring a curse on our life. And somebody could be praying to wear the hair off somebody's head for somebody to be healed. But if you brought the curse on yourself, the only way out of that's repentance. And then you move on from there. Well, the idol worship will be carried off in the midst of the sea. Now, the sea and the waters is the mass of humanity or people. And in the book of Revelation, there's a point of reference about the sea of glass, where it's people. And this idol worship has been carried off, or it's been cast down amongst the people. Though the waters therefore roar, let's not talk in Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls is a cool place to visit because the waters roar. That's not what it's talking about. It's though the people, the mass of people, are murmuring and complaining and just evil words out of their mouth and are troubled or agitated, which is why they would do that. And the mountains shake, like with violence, shake with the swelling thereof. The word swelling in the Hebrew is speaking to pride. And you see, when pride is resisting the Spirit of God, you bring a curse on yourself, or you would cause a rising up of hatred and defiance to God, where the things that you were trusting in will be shaken. And really, the defiance against the Lord across the earth is really bringing a shaking of those things. Selah, or he says, think about it. That's when, in terms of musical terms, you go off into an instrumental solo and you think about what was just said. That's when that word's used. It's used again here. So I just want to restate this. God is our refuge. You have a safe place. He is our strength, that we can persevere and bear with people, even though they're yielding to the evil. He is a right now God right there to help us if trouble comes. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though everything around us is being shaken, mountains carried into the sea. Again, when Jesus said, if you speak to this mountain, move into the sea, he was not talking about you moving physical mountains. That's a wrong interpretation. In Zechariah chapter 4, where he would be speaking that from, it was the opposition to the plan and purposes of God. That opposition. And he says, speak grace to the mountain. Grace to the mountain. Or the power of God released towards the thing standing in the way. And Jesus was saying that in light of the Pharisees were standing in the way of what God wanted to do through him on the earth. So he really was speaking a curse to them, and that they need to stand against everything that would oppose God or come against God. We know in 2 Thessalonians, the spirit of Antichrist opposes everything that's of God. And we see it played out to such a degree where, there's an opposition to saying, I'm a man or a woman. Well, you're not allowed to say that. An opposition to family between a man and a woman. An opposition to family, period. An opposition to authority in the family. Oh, no, 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 no. That's child abuse. An opposition to everything that's of God. To being able to speak freely, which we've, enjoyed the benefit of that in our country. But, that's being removed even as I speak. To say, you Christians, you can't talk about Jesus. You can't say what the Bible says because you'll make me feel bad. You'll hurt my feelings. Sin is still sin, whether people want to admit to it or not. Now, I'm not an advocate of pounding people with it, but we do need to declare all of the gospel. Jesus died to save sinners. If you say you have no sin, then he can't save you. You don't need a sinner. I mean, a savior, excuse me. You're a sinner. You don't need a savior. And that's where the world's at. They do not acknowledge Jesus Christ saving them from sin because they don't even say there's any sin. They've been in denial of God as creator. Again, to remove the authority of God and the lordship of Jesus Christ to say there's many ways to God, many ways to heaven. No, you cannot say that and believe the Bible. Anybody who advocates that is not saved and is hellbound in this present moment. It's serious business. Because to say that is to deny Jesus was the Son of God, the sinless Son of God who alone could pay the price of our sin. You cannot say there's many ways and embrace the truth of the gospel at the same time. Verse 4, there is a river. There is a river. Yeah, there's a river about 5 miles down the road called the Susquehanna River. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. There is a river. Now, here's the good news. Even though all that bad's around us, there's a river flowing out from the throne of God. Ezekiel prophesied of it, chapter 47. Revelation chapter 22 speaks of the river of God flowing out from his throne or from the very presence of God. And that river will make you glad or bring great joy to the city of God or the people of God. Revelation speaks of the new Jerusalem, the city of God, and it clearly brings forth that is the people of God in heaven. There is a river and the streams of it. Now, their streams feed into rivers and make a river bigger. You have the great Susquehanna River. It's over a mile wide. You go up in the mountains. There's little mountain brooks and streams going down the mountains feeding into it. And as it's moving south, there's rivers like the Juniata flowing into it. It's not talking about those streams, but with rivers in general, as it's reaching a low point, it'll branch out into tributaries before it's emptying into a larger body of water. You know, it's hitting, going, because water goes downhill. So when it's hitting the low point where it's going to empty into the sea, it'll be branching into tributaries. So if you can picture in your mind the Mississippi, you have all these rivers and everything flowing into it, coming from, where's that originating? South Dakota? Minnesota? Minnesota? You were just there, so you should know that. I love geography. That one's got by me. But coming a whole way down through, and there's more and more rivers feeding into it, and it gets more and more powerful. But when it gets down to Louisiana, the lowlands, where crazy people build houses, I mean, people that... Why would you build a house beneath sea level? I mean, that one just escapes me. But anyway, the river flows down. And if you look at a map, it's branching out in all these tributaries down there. And it's sort of feeding or watering that whole part of the state. And often that's what rivers will do as they hit the low level and where it's going to go into a sea. Now, the Bible makes reference to us being the lowly, or humility is being made low. And the sea of humanity, as it's humbled, has the tributaries flowing to it. You know, the high and lofty don't get that water. The mountain, so to speak, does not have water running up the mountain. It's always going down the mountain. It's gravity. So as we are identified with humanity, with humility, and are declaring by faith the living God, who's our refuge, our strength, out of whose throne flows the river of life. Yes. That flows to us. So it doesn't matter how beat down you are, how low you are, how afflicted you are, how oppressed or anything else, that river's coming to you if you'll receive it. Now, the river of God flowing out from the temple would relate to the praise and worship of God coming from his people, because we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The old covenant, there was a literal place, but now the body of Christ together is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and you personally are a temple of the Holy Ghost, or the temple, the place where God dwells. So we can lift our hands and praise the Lord and have his presence personally, but it is magnified in the corporate. When we gather together, and when the word of God speaks of the power of God and the prayer of faith, the power of it's increased when we are releasing faith together. Therefore, it's not an option for me. I'll just speak for myself. You can speak for yourself. It's not an option to not gather in the name of Jesus and give praise and honor and glory to the God who's worthy of it all, who is above all as Lord and head of the church and as Lord of my life. That's not an option. I don't care who makes decrees and declares things. God as creator and Jesus as Lord commands us to do that. Not an option. Now, in saying this, I want you to understand, it's on us in believing the scriptures, believing the word, like we're looking at right here, to gather in his name with the intent and purpose, Lord, I'm going to give it all up to you from all the depth of my being, from my heart. And that's where music is helpful. It's part of the helps ministry. It helps us to be in unity, to reach down into the very depth of our being and pull out our praise, to pull out the declaration of our faith and song, let alone to express our love to him. So, see, that's the virtue relative to the music and worship. We're not just singing songs. Now, you've heard me say that before. I'll say it again, and I'll say it again. And again and again, because it's very, very important. We're not just singing songs. It's not just, oh, well, it's just a service. Punch my time clock with God so he's happy. So he's not like mad at me or something. So he's happy. No, I come because Jesus Christ saved me from sin, delivered me from demons and the powers of darkness, brought me into the kingdom of God. He's given me new life. I owe everything to him. My destiny sealed heaven. He's worthy of all that I could bring him, and my praise not half-hearted, but from the depth of my being. So in gathering together, this helps us to do that. And we do it with the expectation of the manifest presence of God. Yes. And the more whosoever would come, comes in that frame of mind, releasing faith, not just singing songs, releasing our faith, we will see more of that river flowing to us, bringing that which we need, which joy, peace, love, strength, all that we need flows out from the presence of God, the tabernacle of the Most High. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. That's talking about the church. The bride of Christ will not be moved. Or I'll say it this way, those who jump in the river through praise and worship and are expressing all of their heart and gratitude to God and expressing their faith before him and to all of the angels will not be moved out from their place. God shall help her. And that right early, or like sunrise, right off the bat. It's not like, well, at the end of the day, oh, Lord, help. No, it's when you set foot on the floor, or even if you're like me and you're going to just lay there and be still and know that he's God and just lay there and meditate on what you know God to be, what you believe about him, and allow faith to stir within you before you even get out of bed. He's going to help you like right off the bat. It's not reinforcements when you're about ready to be killed, but right off the bat, when we enter the battle, the presence of God. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. Now that sounds very similar to Psalm 2. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Well, it's because they're being moved by demons. Don't be afraid to say that. You know, there's a lot of evil going on. And my wife hears me say this all the time. Donna, they got demons moving them. You know, the hatred, just the hatred. Anything God, that's Antichrist spirit. Being willing to commit acts of violence for no reason, that's demon. The natural man's not like that. Natural man can have some evil, but that's demonic. Suicide, that's demons. Because the natural man wants to try to save his life. But demons will so beat you down and lie to you and take all hope away that he can talk you into destroying your own life. Well, the heathen raged. Why? Because they're under the influence of demons. Kingdoms were moved. Now, understand this, that as we have heathen raging around us, it's because of the demonic influence, and you have authority over demons. You can't make any person do the right thing. That's witchcraft. You don't impose your will by your prayer. That's witchcraft. But we can deal with the demons working in them to put a stop to them relative to wherever our sphere of authority is. Now, in my mind, where my feet are, I have authority there, where I am. I don't have authority over everything, but I have authority over my surroundings, my presence. Well, God's in the midst of her, us, you. Oh, right off the bat. And even though demons are stirring people up in hatred to bring death and destruction and anarchy, he uttered his voice and the earth melted or fainted. What's going on in the world can be brought to a standstill. Now, we do have to understand in Bible interpretation that the Bible does show us at the end there will be a one world. There will be complete control. But I don't believe we're there yet. So therefore, we keep fighting. You don't surrender, bow, salute, bow down. We continue to fight because there is unfulfilled prophecy of a great harvest of souls still to come. And there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of villages that have never heard the gospel yet, not any kind of religious anything, you know, Hindu or whatever, Buddhist or whatever, different parts of the world. Some of them, you know, very, very tribal and what they call them, animist. And there's a great work still has to be done. So the Lord's not coming back to rapture us before that. And Antichrist can't go full-blown, full steam until the work's done. We're taken out of the way. 2 Thessalonians 2. We'll have to be taken out. There could be, well, there will be, increases of persecution. And there are people who think delusionally that that can't happen in America. The only thing stopping that's our Constitution. And in this hour, there are governors overriding our constitutional rights. I put in a bulletin last week. I think I want to make a big sign or something. I declare this a WWF zone, word, worship, worship the word and fellowship. Ordained by God, protected by the U.S. and Pennsylvania Constitution. You see, if people wanting to declare their zone, I'll declare our zone. God declares it. That the church will continue to worship him and hear, believe, act upon the word of God and the fellowship. You with me on that? If you're afraid of losing something, you might not be. The people who are afraid of losing something are very likely to take the mark of the beast when that time comes. Because if you're not willing to stand up to worship God, you're not going to stand up to the beast system saying, if you don't take the mark, you have all your finances seized. You will not be able to buy or sell. Revelation spells it out clearly in chapter 13. If you're not willing to worship God in the face of whatever threats, you're not going to stand up and lose everything, starve to death, or worse, to stand up to Antichrist's spirit. These things need to be preached. I don't know how many know this, or if anybody's preaching. I do know of some that are, that God's speaking to. Had a minister call me this week. I rarely ever see him. I know him. We're preaching away at each other for about an hour. Finally, I had to say, excuse me, brother, but I have an appointment. I got to go. There's no end. There's no end to speaking the truth. Because it just makes us stronger. But I say, oh, brother, I agree 100% with everything you're saying. There's some of us out here still preaching the word. And all the more in this hour. But the ones that don't do that will answer to the Lord for not declaring the truth to the people that they're responsible to minister to. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob's our refuge, Selah. Think about that. God is with us. That's always the bottom line. Is God with me or not? Now, I'll just make mention the ministry of the Holy Spirit throughout the Bible. It speaks of three things. God with us, Holy Spirit upon us, and God in us. God in us did not come till after the resurrection of Christ, where the blood was shed for the removal of sin, where the Holy Spirit could then come to live in us. He helps us in our daily walk and all that we would do. The anointing upon you is for the simple purpose of doing what he called you to do. And then you have God with us to deliver, to protect, and prosper us on a corporate level. God with us. Well, he's with us. He's with us. And throughout the Old Testament, that was the bottom line. And the people, after Moses died and Joshua was stepping into it, they said, there's one thing we require, Mr. Joshua, and that's as the Lord was with Moses, he be with you. And if the Lord's with you and that anointing's upon you, we'll do whatever you say to do. We'll go wherever you go. You know, it's scripturally correct to require in your heart that the anointing or God with be with somebody that you're going to follow. Now, no one's perfect. Please understand that. If you're looking for perfect, then just die and go to heaven. That's only Jesus. God works through imperfect vessels. But we need to have that knowing. Now, as I'm in communion with God and fellowship with him, walking in his ways, living by faith, can say all those things to encapsulate this. You can have a knowing God's with me. Therefore, you cannot afford sin. It's too expensive. What will it cost you? The presence of God. I remember starting in ministry, pastoring, and that first year I came to realize this real quick. I have to keep the presence of God. I never know when someone might call me, and you need to pray a prayer of faith now. There's not time to say, well, let me get in the word and fast and pray and call me back next week. Maybe I'll be ready to pray. I had to be ready to pray at any time. Therefore, sin is too costly for me because it'll cost me that confidence before the Lord. I can't afford it. When I realize I do, I want to repent as fast as I can, not make excuses for it and justify and close my ears, which is what people do a lot. And then they wonder, well, where's the answer to your prayer? God with us. Now, when you know God's with us, then you have a confidence. And I always liked illustrating this, speaking of being a little boy, that when my daddy was with me, I wasn't afraid of anything. You know, they would try to scare me in the mountains, telling these bear stories. I don't think they were true. Nonetheless, they had effect. It was scary. But as long as my daddy was with me, I didn't lose any sleep about it. I wasn't concerned about it. Now, if I got to get lost out in the mountains, maybe those thoughts would have come back to my mind. But I believe my daddy with me would kill the bear. God's with us. The one who created the heaven and earth, he'll destroy the devil's works that are coming against you. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolation he made in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. Now you understand these were the weapons of warfare. A bow and a spear and chariots. People, you know, mobile through chariots. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in a fire. And the thing we want to draw out of that is no weapon formed against me will prosper. That I have the armor of God to stand against and wrestle against every devil that's going to try and come at me. That's what he's saying here. Be still and know that I am God. Now that's a verse that's, you know, on wall plaques and stuff like that, but there's such revelation behind it. Be still and consider this, to know this, hold this truth in your mind. Be still and know he's God. He'll be exalted among the heathen or above all the works of the enemy. Jesus in his lordship has all things under his feet. We're part of his body. Lowest part of the body to the ground is your feet. So you could think, well, I'm not really anybody in the body of Christ. The devil's still below you. That's right. As we acknowledge, we are raised up with him. Amen. Be still and know something. You know, sometimes you have to quiet your mind. Fear comes in by way of the mind. And there's times we have to just put a stop to thinking about certain things. Because the more you meditate on evil, it gets bigger in your mind. And sometimes people make things real big that really aren't. And whenever we've done that in our life, we feel kind of silly when we look back. It's like the old Wizard of Oz story. He was a phony. He was creating an illusion. But when they finally pulled back the curtains, like, we're afraid of him. Isaiah 14 speaks that way of Lucifer, who his name was changed to Satan then. Now he wanted to exalt himself above everything of God, and how he was the one to deceive the nations. And the people would say, he's the one that deceived us? He's the one? We're free to him? So we need to meditate on the truth that Jesus destroyed him and defeated him in his death and resurrection. Be still and know I'm God. So sometimes we have to just quiet the mind. You're going to have a very hard time hearing the voice of God if your mind's busy, you know, zing, 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 with thoughts bouncing all over the place. We have to get our mind still to be at peace. That comes as we meditate on who the Lord is and what he has done for us. Just be still in peace. The Lord of hosts is with us. There he says it again. Pay close attention when God repeats himself. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He ends it the way he starts it. God is with us. Be still and know that I am God. Now, I want to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 to expound on this a little further. Verse 17. And while you're commanding your digital Bible to go to that place, or turning the page, whichever the case might be. We first heard, stand still and see the salvation of God through Moses to the people when Pharaoh's pursuing them to destroy them. And the word of the Lord was, stand still and see the salvation of God. The battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. The people were getting really wound up in fear. They were really getting disturbed because they were trapped. Pharaoh's angry. He's coming. He's going to destroy them. But then we have here in 2 Chronicles 20, there were nations come around Judah, and Jehoshaphat was the king. And when trouble came, what he did was called a fast nationwide, called all the people to gather together, and they began to pray and seek God. And you can see his prayer there. Then a prophet was used to speak to them the answer. And there's some other things here, but verse 17 says, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Or in other words, rest in your faith. Rest in your faith. The Lord is going to do that. Stand still and see the salvation of God. So they respond and begin worshiping the Lord, thanking him and worshiping him. And then the word comes to believe as prophets and prosper, down at verse 20. And to appoint singers to go before them, praising the Lord, saying, praise the Lord, his mercy or covenant love endures forever. So they went forth singing the praises to God. The praise was the weapon that broke the enemy. God gave a word of knowledge where he told them where they would be, and he told them word of wisdom, what to do. The word of wisdom, what to do. The word of knowledge in this case is where the enemy would be. Of course, now we have, you know, World War II, the big thing was radar. Now we have satellites and there's eyes on everything. But he identified the enemy and told them the weapon of your warfare is to praise the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of God. The river of God is the praises that are stirred and inspired by the Holy Ghost. Praise to God coming from his people. Jesus said, pray thy will be done on earth like it is in heaven. How is it in heaven? Every living creature there is praising and worshiping God. That's how it is there. And in doing so, true praise, it's not just singing songs, it's acknowledging who he is. That is the basis of your faith in which you rest. And we believe the victory will come. Be still and know. Be still and know. Now, that's something each one of us has to do for ourselves. No one can do that for you. You have to be still and know God for yourself. Sometimes people sort of get used to coasting on someone else's faith, but there comes a time, today is such a time, there comes a time everybody has to stand on their own and has to know that they know what they know about God and then rest in it. Be still. You know, express your faith in the praise and worship and then just rest. God will be exalted. The enemy will be defeated. This spirit of fear, even though it's shaking everything in the world around us, will not move you. That's my expectation for myself, and those who are with me will not be moved. What if some higher level of threat comes? It doesn't change the truth. The truth is the truth. There are many in the world who would love to see the United States of America, that's where you live, destroyed. You know, the last few years, it's been more like the Islamic terrorist. Now there's domestic terrorists being stirred up by demons. Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change the truth about us. There could be nations, Russia, China, North Korea, Iran. It doesn't change the truth about us. And it's not because we're Americans. I cringe every time I hear that. Well, this can't happen. We're Americans. We always come through. We're Americans. Where we've come through, it's because there's been enough believers standing in faith and praying where God could intervene. You know, things were bad at the end of the 70s. Probably worse than they are now in some ways. Not worse in some other ways. We came out of it, and history gives the credit to President Ronald Reagan. But I know different. Now, Reagan was a great president. It was the body of Christ in prayer brought us out. Because there was a move of God, and back when we started a church, a move of God, late 70s through the 80s into the mid-90s, a move of God in prayer. Well, that was very strong. And today, the body of Christ barely holds a candle to what was going on back then because they're drunk on the pleasures of this life. And that what brought us out was the people of God praying and interceding, coming before the Lord, and he began to prosper us again. But with that prosperity, so often, if people don't have understanding, they just take the pedal off the metal, to use an old car expression. I guess there's no metal there anymore. Is it plastic? I don't know. But they're making them out of. But anyway, for us, there can't be an end to pressing in and holding our ground and standing our position. It's not something you do, oh, there's a crisis, we'll pray for 3 days, and then it blows over. You know, the war, 1991, Iraq, church parking lots were full. And Saddam Hussein said, this is going to be the mother of all wars, and people were scared. That war lasted 4 days. It was over. Now, we didn't go in and take care of all of the business, but the occupation of Kuwait, that 4 days is done. That next Sunday, the parking lots are all empty. Oh, we can relax. We can breathe easy. For us in the body of Christ, the war never stops. We are at war with Satan and his demons. It's ever since he was kicked out of heaven. He went after Israel. Revelation 12 lays us out clearly. Tried to bring destruction to Israel. And God had made a way to preserve Israel. Israel lost its nationhood or its land and was dispersed all over the world. That actually was the plan of deliverance for them. Because when you have a people gathered, you can have a war pointed right at them. That's part of our situation with the Islamic terrorists. Where are they? Well, they're all over. We have to understand we're dealing with a spiritual war, spiritual forces, and it's not for us to ever let up. We continue to hold fast to our confession of Christ, and it says that Satan then turned his attention at the end of Revelation 12 towards the church, towards those who have the testimony of Jesus. So we're in a war. Sometimes it's more intense and there's a little easing up, but the war goes on. And we need to take our place and determine within this war, God is my refuge. He is my strength. He will break the bow of the wicked. I'm going to be still and rest in him, knowing he is my God who delivers me. He is my refuge. And as we walk with him, he's with us. It'd be a great blessing for our eyes to be open and to see all the angels that are in here with us. Hallelujah. Yours came with you. And they're praisers and worshipers of God. They join right with us. I suppose they're in a frequency we can't hear. My dog hears things I don't hear. They hear frequencies we don't hear. But God wants us to believe his word. His word tells us that. This is kind of nice if you have some of those appearances or occurrences. But whether we have that or not, we believe his word. He is with us. Selah, think on that.